Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's just take this song. A lot has been said. The Lord has been speaking to us from the prayer, and I doubt I'll be able to go in depth or even do the particular teaching. But I just have a bit of a word that is connected, but is still in line. He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. He's the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King of Kings. He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the issue come. Bringing everything in obedience to us. Bringing everything in obedience to us. Oh, it's the Trust the Lord go through certain things. We can't go into teaching today because we don't have time for that, but the Lord is speaking in a particular area. We draw strength. So let's read. One to go. Let us therefore come bold unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Let's take it one more time. You know, and this time I want us to take it like we don't have exams. Just assume. Just behave like you don't. Can we go one more time? One. Come bold to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He says, let us come what?
Boldly.
The scriptures do not use words anyhow. Like Auntie was pointing us to the fact earlier that we are children of God. He says we have not received the spirit of this world, or received the spirit of fear again unto bondage, but we have received the spirit of Christ, whereby we cry what?
Abba,
Abba, Father. Now, I had a thought in my heart some time ago when I was thinking about the love of God. And you know, sometimes we try to, for you to get to that point where you are convinced of that love that causes you to move towards Him, because the Bible says faith actually works by love. So your anchor towards God is actually dependent on the revelation of God's love you have. So we say we have that there is a faith towards God. That is an upward pull towards God. You are anchoring on Him and having faith on Him based on the reality of the fact that you know He loves you. Now, I went home last year. Or no, this year. I went home for the first time in 5 years. And I had some really funny thoughts. You know, just putting things in parallel, the way we treat God at times, sometimes I feel if He had a hand to do us like this, He would do it. I thought about myself. I said, what if I woke up around 12 a.m.? I just turned 26 this year. That's supposed to, I don't know why you're shouting, but that's supposed to help us go somewhere. So I'm going somewhere. So I imagine I walked into my father's room at 12 a.m. in the morning. And I woke him up. Daddy, I want to ask you a question. Please sit down, And he cleans his eyes. My dad is a very interesting character, and he will sit up. Do you love me? Now, my father has not slapped me in a very long time. But that will warrant it. Because it's a silly question to ask at this level, or at that level. Now, I began to put things in parallel. The way we treat God at times. Sometimes we treat Him like He's a foreigner. This scripture gives us an idea of our approach towards God. Because this is where, by God's grace, this is the core of everything we'll be speaking with or speaking about. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what?
Grace.
Of grace. There is a throne. And the counsel is that we don't come like we don't know our relationship with Him. That is the point. You come boldly. In fact, this makes reference to the Old Testament, because you could not go into the holiest of all boldly. Who are you? You have to tie something around your waist because you are not sure you will come out in the first place. So scripture here counsels us to come boldly because it's based on a relationship. And where I'm going to, it says that you may obtain mercy.
Amen.
And find grace. What? To help? In the time of need. The Lord knew that there will be times where we will need help.
Hallelujah.
We are not designed to function on our own.
That's right.
That's why the greatest investment of God we have today is what, sir? The Holy Spirit. The scripture calls him our helper. Says that we find grace to help in the time of need. This is very important. There are times of need, and our ability to draw strength when those times come, first of all, to recognize that you are in that time is very important. It is very important. You must first know, recognize it. Know when you are in need of this mercy. What is the skill with which we draw from this mercy? Because it says that the one who supplies grace, in fact, there is a throne that is specialized to offer grace. Yet, many people, we find, walk outside of it. Auntie mentioned something that's very important. She made reference to faith and grace. I was discussing something some days ago with Daniel. Have you ever wondered why Samson of all people is described as a man of faith, one of the champions of faith? There are many people who never made the book of Hebrews. But Samson was referred to as a man of faith. Now, I began to remember the story where he had no hope, where he was basically hopeless. And it was rightly so. He had put himself in that situation. And this, remember, this is in the Old Testament. You are walking under the law. But something, for whatever reason, Samson tapped into a dispensation of walking that he should not have access to. Because he understood that it was not what he did that mattered. As long as he could call unto a God, regardless of what he did, there would be grace available. But he did that by what? By faith. That was the reason his name was mentioned there. Solomon's name is not in the book of Hebrews. But the point we're trying to point to here, is that there is grace to help. There is grace to what? Yeah. To help. Last week we said something. We said that our only advantage is in the Spirit, is with the Spirit, and is what? And by the Spirit. That is the greatest investment of God. In fact, let's go to that scripture. Psalms 110. Psalms 110, verse 1 and 2. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
So let's read together. 1, 2, go. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. The rod of his strength. This scripture was referring to the day of Pentecost. It was referring to the fact that on the day that Jesus was exalted, something happened. There was an invasion. There was an introduction of something new in the earth realm. Something that had never been seen or heard of in the earth realm. And it was called the Holy Spirit of God. Functioning now through a man, Jesus Christ. That is the difference. The reality of the Holy Spirit in the believer is one of the biggest truths that we must sink in and sink in and sink in, because that is where we are expected to draw strength from. He says that the Lord shall send the rod of his strength. And the Holy Ghost comes with a mandate. And what is this mandate again? What is this mandate? What is this mandate? To rule in the midst of our enemies. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Like last week, we said it's a domineering mindset. It is. It does not negotiate. The amongst the four living creatures, what captures the Holy Spirit's best is the face of the lion. It's a domineering personality. Even though it is gentle towards you, it says that thy gentleness has made me great. Sometimes the Holy Spirit deals with us and we use his dealings with us to appreciate or quantify his personality towards our weaknesses or the works of darkness, because he is gentle towards us. But it's actually a raging
lion.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God. And the place, you know, the place it comes out of is very important. He says he shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. Now, if you remember in scriptures, I don't know if anyone has read this. If you know the history of Mount Zion, you find out that was actually the highest position or mountain in the whole of Israel. That was the highest point. And from there, as long as David conquered that place, he was able, because the Jebusites were there, he was able to exact rule over all of his enemies. Once he conquered them, it was finished. And we see a type of that. The Bible says, having squared principalities and powers, he made a public show of them by defeating them on the cross. And he ascended high, far above all principalities and powers. And he has set both me and you in where? In heavenly places. So Mount Zion is a type of the ascended reality of the believer.
Amen.
That is the highest point in old Israel. It is a shadow, but it speaks of the positioning of the church. The highest heavens. And he says it will send, because the church starts first in heaven. That is why there is a witness in the heavens, and there is a witness on where? On earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, very important, the Holy Spirit is the greatest investment we have here on earth. And we must learn to draw strength from him. We are not seated in earthly realms. We are seated in heavenly realms. That is the estate of the believer. The mindset must be as one from that place. And because the Spirit was sent forth from heaven above, it is from the highest realms of the heaven. You can command, because the heavens, they are stratas. The heavens does rule. You can command dominion because it is a Lord Spirit, the highest form, the highest existence or existing spirit is the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
It says that the Lord is what? That Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, we must have a mindset, we must have an appreciation of the Holy Ghost as our help. As scripture says that we look up to the heavens, to the high places, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heavens and the earth. We must continue to fix our gaze in these times and continue to behold him in all that is. Because he says, greater is he that is in what? in you than he that is in the world. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll take our meditation from there shortly. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'll just read, and at any point we need to read together, I'll just indicate. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything amongst you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Verse 5, let's read together. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith structure must have its source in the power of God. The enablement we have access to is divine. There is a help that man can provide. And Paul is trying to make a reference or make a point to something here that is very important. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Men can bring solutions that are very, very good. The Bible speaks about Ahithophel, that his counsel was as God giving counsel, right? There are men like that. This one is even compared to God. But there are men who have some really unique form of wisdom. Like, you hear them speak and you're actually impressed. This guy, he may not know God, but you have sense at least. You are impressed. And to a certain extent, that can offer some kind of solution from men. But in the kingdom, our focus is on what? The power of God. Somebody say the power of God.
The power of God.
You know, whenever I hear the word grace, I get very excited. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Great grace. Hallelujah. The Bible says there was great grace upon them. That was what the church functioned as. That was what they functioned by, rather. The statement made here is with regards to the power, the efficacy of the power of God. And grace, if we understand grace, it is unmerited favor, but it's actually the power of God. It is actually the strength of God. That is what God calls strength. And what the scripture is pointing us to is the fact that you can actually have faith in something else. You can have faith in your ability to press your fasting. You can have faith in your oratory. You can have faith in your academics, your certificates. But in the kingdom, the faith structure is dependent on the revelation of the power, the grace of God. That is why that first scripture we read is very, 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 very important. If the revelation of the grace of God is not clear, you will not really, really know how to draw promised. And we are, that is what we are meant to live by. I'd like us to read further, and we'll pick some things from this scripture. We'll have some time to pray today. Verse 6, he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that cometh to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll pick something from this scripture. So we have a bit of meat to take home. So, the scripture points to something here, which he says that we speak what?
Wisdom.
We speak wisdom. Now, there are two aspects. Let me say this. There are two fundamental aspects of, or two wings, like I call it, of spiritual growth or ascension in God. There is the access, like we stated earlier today, to the revelational word, understanding by the word. And there is prayer as a means of spiritual growth. But today we will look a bit at the aspect of the word, then we will round it up with prayers. It says that we speak wisdom amongst those that are perfect, or those who are mature. The word here actually means mature. Now, the meat, the food of the church, or the overcoming church, interestingly, we were talking about wisdom today. The food of the overcoming church is the wisdom of God revealed. And that is one facet of expression of the Holy Ghost we have. You see in Isaiah 11, if someone can put it up, Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 2. And let's read together. "And it shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Now, these are not different Holy Spirits. These are expressions in the same Holy Spirit. And like it was pointed out to, one thing that the Holy Spirit finds or expresses in us as we begin to pray, because we are meant to seek it, the Bible describes the seven spirits of God as having eyes in Revelations. And you find in another part of scripture that they move around the earth. Mm-hmm. They fly around the earth, seeking those whose hearts are perfect towards him. So you pray for the seven spirits to find expression in your life. But our focus today is wisdom. How wisdom taught in the church is meant to be an advantage for the believer. It is meant to give you an advantage. Because, you know, the devil thrives on ignorance. Spiritual ignorance, to be more specific. And thank God we began to talk about spiritual intelligence in our Bible study. How do I know how to deal with certain things? When I'm going through, I say, I don't just feel like praying. I woke up heavy. Then you began to talk down on yourself, or you began to feel for yourself. But when we come to the church, or when we come to the operations of the proper church, what happens is that through the ministry of the fivefold and our own closet, the Holy Spirit brings wisdom to us. Now, seeing this scripture, it says that, "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that cometh to naught.
Now, from there we see there is a worldly wisdom. And there is the wisdom of the princes of the age. The word there is actually age. And there is a superior wisdom. And this wisdom is the, how do you put it?
The hidden wisdom
of God. Yes. Now we spoke about the worldly wisdom, which you see man expressing by reason of learning. That is very, very limited. As wise as a doctor is, they've still not found any cure for cancer. That is an expression of wisdom. It can cure many things. It can do many things. But it's still limited. And there is the wisdom of this age, or the princes, rather, the rulers of this age, the spirits of this age, that orchestrates activities in this current world. There are spirits that orchestrate specific forms of wickedness. And that is this. But this one, he says that it is hidden. It is hidden. Now someone may look at this and say it is hidden, it is mystical, or it is a mystery to us. But it is not hidden from the believer. But it is actually hidden for the believer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it is a wisdom. And we see that it was this same wisdom with which Christ used to defeat Satan on the cross, right? It was by this wisdom. It was by this wisdom God was able to make Satan play a part in exalting Jesus and even commencing the glorification of Christ. And that is even, it gives you an idea of how Satan plays a role sometimes in your life, and he does not know. You may think you are going through one diverse thing, and the devil is, he's bubbling. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You may think he's having a field day with you. He's having the best time of his life. But like we see in Jesus, it is actually, most of the time, he says, out of the mouth of the eater came strength. Most of the time, it is actually to strengthen us. Now, the wisdom of God makes us, he says that how you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. That means wisdom is needed in the discussion of salvation. Wisdom to devise the wiles of Satan. Because Satan, he thrives on ignorance. And as we are exalted, or as we move and progress in the things of God, or in the wisdom of God, we have a better understanding in dealing with the things that pertain to the wiles of the devil. That's why it says that the seed of the woman will bruise what?
The head
of a serpent. That is his wisdom. The seed of the woman. He is meant to crush the head of the serpent. And it is from a higher level you can do crushing, right? Do you crush like this? Do you push this in higher? You crush downwards. So you have to edge, you have to come. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So very, very, very important. Very, very important. It is needed that we, he says that we speak wisdom. It is the teaching of the church. We come and the more we are exposed to the proper teachings, we gain strength to look at things and to address life from a higher perspective. Let's continue to read. We'll come back. Yes. Verse 8. I'll read this quickly. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. Let's read it together. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now it says eyes, physical eyes, manly eyes have not seen the things. The deep things of God, things that are meant, they are preserved for our glory. Now, I want to point to something here. Does it say, but God will reveal it?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So, he has revealed things already. Remember, it is this hidden wisdom that gives us an advantage over Satan. Because, let me say this. Don't let anybody, Satan is defeated. Amen. He is defeated. But two things you must know. He's not stupid. He's not a foolish creature. He knows your 100 or your 4 generations past, 100 generations past. Remember, he was in the courts of heaven. In fact, he's one of the few creatures that bears 10 stones in the New Jerusalem, lacking only 2. Anyways, what I'm trying to point to is the fact that it is wisdom of God that defeats Satan.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody, we are not meant to live ignorantly. That's where I'm pointing to. Say, this Satan is stupid, then you now go around and you expose yourself to sin. He will smite you.
Yes.
Our only safety actually is in consecration. That is why it has been coming to us. That's one of the wisdoms of God concerning the believer. It is an edge. It is one that declares ownership, that God, the Lord, owns me. And Satan cannot therefore lord over you. It says, to whom you yield yourself to, you become what? Slaves to. Now, I would like us to, concerning wisdom, just to a point, because we're going to look into the aspect of prayers. Like we said, it's a two-winged thing. I want to show us something in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 4, I believe. See, Proverbs 4 from verse, we'll read to verse 9. Yes, this is it. From verse 1. So let's start with 1 to go. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. For I was in my father's son, and tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Pause. Go back. 6. This is one of the strongest counsels in Scripture. It says, forsake her what? Not. That means you can forsake wisdom. One of the expressions of the Holy Spirit towards us is the spirit of wisdom. And he says wisdom is profitable to direct. That means in your dealings with God, in your workings, the advantage you should have is that there is a guardian of wisdom in there. But scripture is saying it can be forsaken. She shall preserve thee if you don't forsake her. She will keep you. Love her, and she shall keep thee. I think in another place in Proverbs 8, it talks about, say, I love those who love me. Those who seek me early shall find me. Oh my God. Wisdom is a beautiful thing. Another place says wisdom is a defense. I think that's in Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12. It is a defense. That is the advantage of the believer. And as we begin to tap into the wisdom of God, it is an advantage against the works and the operations of Satan. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's continue in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter, wisdom is the principal thing. Let's read it together. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she give thee. So we see wisdom again tied with grace. That wisdom, divine wisdom, can give you an advantage. She will crown you with an ornament of grace. The wisdom of God is meant to be not just something we fall back on, but something we function on. It is our only advantage in this earth, right? Because it is sourced from the Holy Ghost. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's see what it says there. We stopped at verse 10. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but what? The spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may do what? We may know the things that are freely given unto us. Jesus. Know is a revelatory term. You don't know things mentally, spiritual things. Now it says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you do what?
No.
You may do what?
No.
The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may do what?
No.
You may know. I'm not hearing it clear. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That you may know. It is a revelatory term. And things of the Spirit come by knowing. They come by revelation. And when things come by revelation, there are advantages. It says they are hidden for our glory. There are things that are freely given unto us. And one of these things is the operation of the Spirit in our lives. One of these things is the operation of the Spirit in our lives. How the Holy Ghost gives us advantage in areas of our life. It takes wisdom to tap into that. It says from verse 13 now, I'm just going to continue reading. Which things also we speak, not in the words that man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with what? With spiritual things. The Holy Ghost can teach. We see that the Holy Ghost can actually teach wisdom. It can give us what? Wisdom. And this wisdom is an advantage. It is a defense. It is a defense. That is what the believer is meant to, one of the facets of the operation of the Holy Ghost in our life. And that is why we are encouraged to pray much in tongues. If you are confused about certain things, sometimes you just need to pray in the Spirit. He says that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. How does he search? We are meant to tap and draw from the resources of the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, like I said earlier, one of the key things, which is what I wanted us to look into today, and we're going to end there and pray. We're going to end there and pray. I would like us to turn to, we'll read two scriptures, Zechariah 12. Zechariah 12, verse 10. I want to make sure we're rounding up. Okay, let's see. We have time. We have a bit of time. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Zechariah 12, verse 10. I would like us to read it together. One, two, go. And I will pour upon the house of Israel and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look unto me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness as one that mourneth for his son. I just realized now that I didn't even give some kind of topic. The focus is on the spirit of grace. So it's just a subtopic. The spirit of grace. It is a spirit. That's where I want to come to today. The activities of a spirit are very unique. If you are exposed to someone who is influenced by a spirit, you will see the mark of that spirit on the person. You can see it in the expressions of the spirit of wisdom, the expression, the spirit of counsel, mind, knowledge. Likewise, in the dark side, you see the expression in the operations of that spirit. Sometimes the spirit of loss, the spirit of anger, the spirit of what else?
Mind.
What?
Infirmity.
Violence, wrath. And that spirit leaves its mark. You can tell from their operations. Now, there is what is called the spirit of grace and supplication. And it's sent forth for one reason. It says that they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his first son. Now, my emphasis is mourn. Mourning is a scriptural term for prayers. I think scripture says in Ezekiel 9 verse 4, that go around the midst of Jerusalem and in the midst of the city and mark the heads of those who cry and sigh for the desolation in Israel. So there is intercession. This is the basis for the spirit of grace and supplication. Now, why am I coming with this? The spirit of grace is very important when it comes to our prayer lives. It is what we are meant to depend on in times where we feel like we are not able to tap into or draw strength in our place of prayer. One of the greatest words or phrases anybody can use is, "Lord, help me." I found that over and over again, that Lord, help me. is one of the strongest words. It's like he gets excited. You are just on your, you are trying to pray and you just say, Father, Father, help me. And something comes like a deluge of grace.
Hallelujah.
That spirit is still available today. And we drink of that spirit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That spirit is, it is an epitome. It typifies the strength of God. It is expressed as a source of enablement in the believer's prayer life, to be more specific. And when you have a better, you know, a good prayer life to an extent, you will find out that things like weariness find it really difficult to creep in. Immoral struggles here and there. I think it was in the book of Ezekiel 47. I'm just at Ezekiel 47. It says that the Lord brought Ezekiel to a temple. And in that temple, there was waters flowing. And he measured first to the ankle. And what was the next place? To the knees. And where was the next place? To the loins. So we see that the knee, the water first consuming your knees, is needed before it gets to the loins. This speaks of moral purity. Right? But when the Lord comes to enable us in the place of prayers, it comes via the Spirit called the Spirit of grace and supplication. Scripture says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Is come upon you. Someone say the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Are you sure about it? Someone say the Holy Ghost has come upon
me. The Holy Ghost has come upon me.
Shout it and say the Holy Ghost has come upon me.
The Holy Ghost has come upon me.
I have enablement of the Spirit.
I have enablement of the Spirit.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is where we draw strength. There is waters available. There is waters. And in our prayer lives, there is an enablement that comes to sustain us. And that's what we're going to be drawing from today. Because there is drink available. There is, it says, he that believeth, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall what? Shall flow rivers of living waters. We are going to draw from that today. And we are going to pray. We're going to pray. I don't want us to... A lot could have been said, but I want us to focus on the Spirit of grace. That is where the Lord wants us to fix our gaze on. I want us to spend ample time in prayers. I want us to, you see, I don't know about you, but I believe we all need grace in these times. We all need grace. We need help. We need divine help. Divine help. Divine help from the Lord, specifically to take away all form of shallowness, all form of dust. We need divine help. And what the Lord is saying today is that there is grace available for some. He says, come boldly, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. There is something available on this throne. There is something available. And it is from him that the waters. The waters of grace. You have found it